It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
It's a pleasure once again to be able to speak to you about the Word of God and speak to you from the Word of God. And we're studying right now in the book of Ecclesiastes on It's a Good Life. And if it's possible for you to have your Bible, I'd ask you to turn to chapter 8 of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 14, we see perplexity. Expect perplexity. And that verse says, there is a vanity which is done upon the earth, that there be just men unto whom it happeneth according to the work of the wicked. Again, there be wicked men to whom it happeneth according to the work of the righteous. I said that this also is vanity. Of course, that's Solomon speaking there under the inspiration of the Lord. Well, there are some righteous men who are affected by what the wicked do. And sometimes wicked men are affected by what righteous men do. And I think particularly that the wicked are affected by righteous men, the righteous person who tells that person who's unsaved how to be saved, that you call upon the name of the Lord, you're sorry for your sin, you're sorry that that you haven't been living for the Lord, that you have not known him before this time. And that righteous person is able to, if you would, witness and tell that unsaved person, look, you need to get saved. And this is certainly an effect that can be had upon that person who's unsaved. And prayerfully and hopefully that person who's never trusted Christ will come to that saving knowledge. But also the righteous can be affected by the wicked. The wicked can bring the person down. In other words, cause the person, the saved person to feel bad, can cause that person to have a bad attitude even towards other unsaved people. But as we look on in verses 16 and 17, we're going to see something here. It says, when I applied mine heart to know wisdom and to see the business that is done upon the earth, for also there is that neither day nor night seeth sleep with his eyes, then I beheld all the work of God, that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun. Because though a man labor to seek it out, yet he shall not find it. Yea, farther, though a wise man think to know it, yet shall he not be able to find it. Well, a person cannot always understand why things happen the way they do. And Solomon says, I said that this is also is vanity. Verses 16 and 17. Remember Job? Now, I mentioned earlier that this section of Scripture has to do with Job. I think back of Job, and sometimes things simply do not make sense to us, and it just doesn't add up. And I think of Job, how that even his so-called friends turned on him. They blamed Job for what was happening to him. And sometimes we have a tendency as even safe people of pointing our finger at someone who has a difficult time. We say, there's the chastisement of God coming down on this person. Well, that's not the case. And that's what Job's friends did to him. They said, it's your fault that all this is happening. Now, of course, Job had problems. He was a man. But the point is here that we don't always understand why things happen. And God allows things to come into our lives, I believe, in order to make us a little stronger. Well, now looking at verse 15, it says, then I commended mirth, because a man hath no better thing under the sun than to eat and to drink and to be merry, for that shall abide with him of his labor the days of his life, which God giveth him under the sun. And I see in this verse that we're to enjoy life. We're not to go around with, feeling sorry for ourselves we need to realize that God has given us certain things in this life that would help us to enjoy life. I believe that what Solomon is saying here, that we need to delight in the fruits of our own labor. In other words, we need to take pride, not to be puffed up and saying, look what I've done or anything like that, but we need to delight in the fruits or the results of our own labor. Eat, drink, and be merry as you labor in the days God has given you in your life on the earth, according to verse 15. In Psalm 16:11, it says, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Enjoy life. How? Psalm 16:11 tells us that we are to realize that it comes from God. And notice the advice given throughout this book of Ecclesiastes, and it's this. Remember who gives us what we have. In Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 24 through 26 says, there is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw, that it was from the hand of God. For who can eat, or who else can hasten hereunto more than I? For God giveth to a man that is good in his sight wisdom, knowledge, and joy, but to the sinner he giveth travail, to gather and to heap up, that he may give to him that is good before God. This also is vanity and vexation of spirit. In other words, the person ends up with nothing who does not respect God and does not listen to the Word of God. And in Ecclesiastes 3, verses 12 through 13, we've already studied these verses, but these are important to tie in with chapter 8. It says, I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. Verse 13 says, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. And Solomon goes on in Ecclesiastes 5, 18 through 20. He says, behold, that which I have seen, it is good and comely for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor, that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life, which God giveth him, for it is his portion. Every man also to whom God hath given riches. Now, let me go back here just a moment and say that verse says, which God hath given him, for it is his portion. The man works for it. The man has worked, and he wants to have something, and he works for it. He's not lazy. And God blesses that person. Verse 19 says, every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth. God gives it to the person, and hath given him power to eat thereof, and to take his portion, and to rejoice in his labor. This is the gift of God. Everything we have is a gift of God. And it goes on to say, for he shall not much remember the days of his life, because God answereth him in the joy of his heart. And that person who acknowledges who God really is, well, that person is the one who is really going to enjoy what God has given him. And it's so important for us to realize that we need to respect what God has given us. We need to take care of what God has given us. And once we remember that everything actually belongs to God anyway, we suddenly start realizing that everything we have belongs to God, and he's letting us borrow that for a time. But in the meantime, we're to work, and as we work, he gives us more. And some people say, well, you know, I'm not rich. God has not made me rich. Well, once again, I think of that. I used to ask myself that question. Why hasn't God made me rich? Well, maybe he couldn't give it to me because I couldn't handle it. Maybe I'm not ready for it. Maybe I wouldn't handle it the way I should handle it. And I've found that I can't outgive God, and God gives me exactly what I need in this life. And he wants to give you what you need in this life. And what you need right now is the Son of God. You need Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you've never trusted him to save you, you need to ask him to come into your heart. You need to realize that one of these days, life is going to be over in this life. And you need right now to be serving God. And sometimes we get to that point and we say, well, I don't know how to serve God. Well, that's the reason you join a good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. And that's the reason you get into the Word of God, so God can lead you, guide you as a saved person. But right now, you need to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. And if you are saved, you need to trust him. Not to be saved, but because you are saved. You need to trust him and let him use you. And take what he's given you in this life and use it for his honor and his glory. You can't outgive God. Well, I want to look on for a few moments here in chapter 9. In chapter 9 of the book of Ecclesiastes, I want to look at the objectives in studying this chapter. First, it's to reflect upon the inevitability of death and the uncertainty of life, and also to consider how time and opportunity is offered to everyone, and then to appreciate the importance of a joyful, diligent life and heeding the words of the wise. And we've looked at this throughout the chapter, and we saw this in the last chapter, chapter 8 that we looked at, that everything comes from God. We're to be happy. God doesn't want any one of us to be unhappy here. But notice in verses 1 through 10 of chapter 9, we're not going to get very far in this chapter right now, but I want you to notice that verses 1 through 10 talks about enduring the certainty of death. You'll notice that Solomon contrasts here throughout this book. He contrasts life and death. That's what we have as human beings. We have life and we have death. And in these verses 1 through 10, he tells us about that we're to endure the certainty of death. It's coming. And you know when someone calls me to do a funeral service, I always pray, God, do not take away their grief. Help them, make them understand, Lord, and ease their pain. Don't take the grief away, Lord, because I know that is a part of this life. And that's something that we all need to face, is death. And to face death, first of all, the right way is to know Jesus as your Savior. In verses 1 through 6 of verse 9, or chapter 9 of Ecclesiastes, it tells us that death happens to all, and it happens to every person. Death happens to both the righteous and the wicked, according to verses 1 through 3, and the righteous are in God's hands, according to verses 1 and 2. Well, next time, we'll pick up with these verses, and we'll look at them closer. Father, thank you today for salvation. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for giving each one of us the opportunity to know your Son personally. And I pray for that person listening today who needs Jesus as Savior. May that person come to a saving knowledge by saying, God, I know I can't save myself. I receive Jesus as my Savior right now. Save me for Jesus' sake. And for that person who is saved, I pray that they will work for you and help others find Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You have just listened to number 20. That's lesson 20. Of Ecclesiastes. These lessons are taken directly from the Word of God, the Bible. I trust you haven't missed any lessons of our study of Ecclesiastes. God told Solomon to ask for what he wanted, and Solomon asked God for wisdom. God answered Solomon in 2 Chronicles chapter 1 and verse 12, where he said, "Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee, neither shall any after thee have the like." Let us ask God for wisdom and knowledge as we study His book, the Bible. Join me next time as we study lesson 21 of Ecclesiastes.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.